Have you ever gotten a lot of Christmas cards for Christmas? If you're like me, I didn't get much over the last couple years. And I thought, what's going wrong? Doesn't anybody like me anymore? But then I've come to realize that's not the way we communicate a lot in this world today. Sending cards is kind of more of a hassle and it's expensive. So what I got a lot more of, by the way, was emails and a lot of wishes over the phone for a Merry Christmas, which was fine and it was great. I don't like all that little sprinkly, sparkly stuff anyway that gets in your hands and all over the place on cards. But the one thing I did notice, the cards that I received more this year were those cards that had pictures of their family. You've seen those that come in. People make a big effort to let everybody know in the course of the year where their family has gone, and they do it by pictures. They show a lot about how their family has grown this way and that way, and new people came into the family, and other people have left the family or either died from the family. But we get to see kind of in a small little image a family. I almost like appreciate more of those that had the whole family involved with it instead of those who just take their little kids and put them on there, because it's not just our kids, it's all of us that make that family. So you want to see the whole unit in operation. I know that's hard to get everybody together, but the beauty of those cards that had the pictures of the family are really valuable. You see families living and breathing. I thought about the family of Jesus, and I wonder what his picture would look like. We don't know much about the life of Jesus with Mary and Joseph and their child. When we look at all of Scripture, we only have four scenes that really stand out in all of Scripture. And they're interesting scenes that they chose to write about. The first scene that you see, obviously, is the birth of Jesus. And we just don't announce the birth of Jesus, but we begin to see it in a state of poverty. We see it where people are not welcoming them. But that one scene of the childhood of Jesus is his birth. Beautiful as it was, but painful it must have been. The second scene you usually see in the image that you would get is the scene of Jesus and Joseph and Mary fleeing from Nazareth and going into Egypt. They were persecuted. They were afraid that their child would be killed. And they uprooted everything in their home and they moved to get away from the persecution and the pain and the suffering. I thought that kind of sounds familiar today. And the other image you begin to see is when Jesus was taken to the temple by Mary and Joseph to offer him, almost like our baptism. And in thanksgiving and gratefulness to our God, they gave their child back to God in the presentation of our Lord. And the fourth image you have of the family is what we read today. They lost Jesus. Where was their child? The fear of losing a child and searching desperately to find him. Those are the only four scenes of the childhood of Jesus. I wonder how they would have made the picture cards of the family that we know of today. When I began to look at that, I'm reminded of a story. It's a story that someone told me several years over the holidays, that this one particular Christmas season, this young family, a boy of about 9, little boy about 4, mother and father, and their grandpa, all went shopping together to buy Christmas gifts. And they went to the place that we all run to is the mall. And the mall is filled with people. And at the mall, people are just running helter-skelter trying to find that perfect gift. The beauty of the scene that you see and the decorations are one reason why the children wanted to go. But here's this young family running through the mall trying to get all that they can and get it done in one big day, one big swoop. We've been there trying to find that perfect gift. But when you take the whole family, it can be quite an experience. And so it was this day. And as they were shopping through the mall and they were doing their own things, they said, well, why don't we just break up and just come back and have lunch at the food court. So they did. And after they only shopped for a half an hour and they came back to kind of have some food, guess what happened? Little 4-year-old Matthew was nowhere to be seen. And they were devastated. You can see and imagine what a mother and a father would go through. Where do we begin to look? How could this happen? So again, they went back and retraced their steps to the different stores. And after a while, they came back in desperation because they couldn't find him. And as we were standing there trying to figure out what do we do next, here comes Grandpa. He's got little Matthew by his hand. And Matthew's jumping up and excited and laughing. He's not afraid. He's happy to see all the excitement that's going on around him. When Grandpa brought the little boy to the area where the mother and her father, mother sat down and she just grabbed him and she hugged him so tight and she said, where were you? Where'd you find him? And Grandpa said, we found him in a candy store, roaming up and down the aisles of the candy store, just eyes a-glistening with all the color and the wonder, the kinds of candy in one place. And the mother was just kind of grateful for the fact that she found her son. But that feeling of losing a child was something that she had a hard time getting out of her head for years. But Grandpa said something when he brought little Matthew back to Mom and Dad. He said something that I think is pretty profound, and yet I'm sure at the time he had no idea what it meant. But when she asked him, where'd you find him? Not only did he say the candy store, but he said it was the last place where we left him. It's where we left him. Think about it. We found him where we left him. I think about that often and I begin to wonder. That story about that young family and the story that we see in the reading about Jesus being lost and eventually found in the temple has a lot to say about us. The feelings in both those stories are very real to many of us. Because I can't help but feel and wonder if many of our young families today feel that they've lost Jesus. They lost Jesus maybe personally, or maybe they've lost Jesus in their own family. Because everybody is so busy. And they're running every which way, and they don't have time for anything. And they're worried about everything. They're stressed over everything. They got to take care of the needs of everybody and everything, whether it be at work or whether it be at home or whether it be in the community that they belong to, a parish even. I'm so busy, I don't have time for this. And maybe somehow they wake up one morning and they realize We too have lost Jesus. We lost him. He's not a part of our lives the way he used to be. And somehow we wonder that we just go through the motions of our faith, but still, this Jesus is lost in our families. It's not that we don't believe anymore. It's not that we don't even trust in our God anymore. It's just somewhere and somehow, Jesus got lost. And when you think about that, that's pretty profound. Because in all the busyness of our lives, we just kind of lose sight of the person of Jesus. Oh, we believe, but we lost him. About a week ago, I got a phone call. I had met up with this, well, back in the day in Trinity when I taught, a young kid that I taught, and I haven't connected with him for years. But he moved on, married, had kids, they had kids. And all of a sudden, I just met him at the mall, just walking in the mall one day. I went out shopping too that day. And there in the mall, he said, "My gosh, where you been?" And we started kind of reminiscing and all that. And he said, "Let's exchange numbers." So we exchanged numbers, and we said, "We'll call." Well, that usually, okay, that sounds great, but it usually never really happens. 1 week later, I get a phone call. And on the other end of the line, I could feel that this young man was kind of distressed over something. He wasn't as perky as he was in the mall when I saw him. And I said, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "I just took my son and dropped him off at rehab. He's been battling the opioid use. And I don't know what happened." He said, "Father, I don't know when or how I lost my son. I don't know what I did wrong. I guess I just wasn't paying attention. And I got to tell you, Father, you know, I'm not much of a spiritual man." He said that. That seems the go-to for a lot of us. "Now, Father, I'm not too spiritual here. But I think I've even lost Jesus, too." Those are profound words of people trying to live in this world and living in a family that's struggling with difficulty. First of all, I lost my son. Now, I feel like I've lost my God. I didn't know what to say. I could hear the heartbreak in his voice. And I was choked up trying to say words. And the only thing I could say was what Grandpa said. You remember? He's right where, Jesus is right where we left him. He didn't move. We moved. And somehow, we have to go back to where we were and bring him up to where we are. And when he said this statement about, "I'm not a holy man," the only thing that came to my mind was to sit there and say, "My friend, we're not called to be holy. We are called to be human. And when you embrace this humanity, you'll find your holiness.
I didn't know where that came from,
but I believe it. Too many times we hear the word holy family, and the word holy steps, you know, jumps out at us, and we say, well, I'll never measure up to that. I'm just a family. Sure you are. You're a human, real family with all the heartache and all the joys and all the gratefulness to be blessed with the people in your life that you call family. You don't have to be holy. You just have to be human. Because isn't that what Christmas is? Jesus didn't say, okay, I'm up here and you all come up here and let's all be happy together. No. This God of ours said, let me come down and embrace your life. Let me walk around in your experiences. Let me feel what you feel. Let me be human. Be it poverty, be it fleeing from persecution, be it celebrating in the church and the temple. Let me be a part of your life. And once we embrace this humanity that we've all been blessed with, the families we've been blessed with, we'll find our holiness. Not by finding it out there, but cherishing it within what we already been gifted. Remember the words what Jesus said when he was found? At first they might seem like harsh words to a mother who says, where you been? And he says, I'm doing my Father's business. What he's really saying, as I'm moving out of my home and my family and I'm walking into this world and I'm taking what you taught me and I'm going to bring it to this world, I'm just doing my Father's business, Mom. And how do we do our Father's business in the world that we've been given, the life we've been given, the family we've been given? Well, the second reading told us how. Did we listen, or are we just going through the motions? Remember what Paul said? Put on. He didn't say become. He said put on. In your own humanity, put it on. Put this on. Put compassion on. Put on kindness. Humility. Put on gentleness. And put on patience. Forgive one another. And above all things, just put on love. And then let the peace of Christ control your heart. And above all things, be thankful for what you have, difficult as it may be. Be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you, and then teach one another about it all. Celebrate. Sing psalms and songs, but sing it with a sense of gratitude to your God. And whatever you do, my friends, do everything in the name of Jesus. and you'll find him in the last place you left him. During Advent, I did a lot of confessions. Not that we're a lot of sinners, but I did a lot of confessions because every kid in every school is jammed into church for penance for Father. You know what I mean? And all these little kids come in groves to confession. And it's really intriguing because what always gets to me is that every kid has beaten up their brother and sister and been mean to their brother and sister. That's all they can talk about. I'm mean to my brothers and my sister. But I tell you, there was one confession that really hit the heart of a little third grader. This little third grader came in and sat down and real quietly she said, "I miss church." And immediately my reaction was like, okay, she missed church. And I started to kind of talk to her about missing church. And she said, "That's not what I said." I said, "What did you say?" She said, "Father, I said, I miss church with my family." And that hit me. She said, "We haven't gone to church since I received my first communion as a family. And I miss it." That's a little third grader. And sometimes we make the choices and the decisions to not teach each other about this God that we might feel we have lost. Somehow we got a lot of work to do. But we don't start from scratch. All we have to do is go right back where we were before. And it probably is with our families. I have something to give you. It's a yellow sheet of paper. If you want it. I'm not going to force anybody to take it. But I read this years ago, and I went and I tweaked it, and I wrote it again. And it very simply says, 12 ways to bring family to Mass. And it doesn't mean bring them to Mass. It means bring your life to church. Bring your humanity to church. And teach your children how to bring our human family to church. And it makes church something much more important. And not just something that we go through to kind of find our holiness. The church becomes a human expression of gratitude for what we've all been blessed with, our families. Grandpa had it right. You'll find him right where you left him. God bless your families. And hug everybody today.